The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Lots of things to talk about, winter viruses particularly, and maybe you're more likely to catch one if the cold wind is blowing through your public service office. I don't know. But Ilona Duffy, the Monaghan-based GP, is on the line now to tell us what she is seeing in her GP surgery. Ilona, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's coming through your doors?
Well, lots of coughs and snuffles, sick children and sick adults. So we're seeing what we would expect at this time of the year, but probably what we haven't seen for the last couple of years because of COVID and everybody having more restrictions and wearing masks. But obviously this year that's gone. So we're back into the normal business of the coughs, colds and snuffles.
Reporting today that there's concern over a surge of respiratory infections arriving at the children's hospitals. That must be a cause of concern, number one, for the hospitals trying to cope, but number two, the parents must be hugely concerned if they think a hospital visit is required.
I agree, Pat. So every year we will see a surge in viruses around this time. Anywhere from September on, we start seeing it rise right through into the winter. And probably one of the predominant viruses we see is RSV. So that's respiratory syncytial virus. And it kind of tends to present in most children with simple things like snuffles, mild temperatures, and nothing more than that, and improves within a few days, probably up to 5 days to see the full improvement. But in a certain percentage of these children, up to now, it's probably been in the order of 1-2%, especially of children under 6 months, will end up in hospital and require hospitalisation because they'll get a more severe form. They'll have more respiratory distress, meaning more cough, more wheeze, more difficulty perhaps feeding and breathing. And they're the children who end up in hospital. So I think over the last 2 years, we didn't see these rates of presentations to hospital, and we are now. And there is some anecdotal evidence that what we're seeing now is children who hadn't been exposed to many of these viruses over the past 2 years, perhaps getting perhaps worse symptoms this time around because it may be their first time to meet it.
Now, the question is what you can do, because if you've got a bacterial infection, obviously an antibiotic might do the trick if you get the right antibiotic. With a viral infection, I mean, they're not making antivirals for RSV, are they?
They're not. At the moment, there's no active treatment for RSV. For those children who are very high at risk, there is an immunotherapy type drug that can be used, but it's very limited, and it's on specific children who have cardiac problems and who perhaps are very premature, and they'll be given it during the RSV season. But for most children, there's nothing that we're actively giving that's going to treat it. So it's all about treating the symptoms. And I think, look, the first thing is you see your child and your child may be feeling unwell, looking unwell, especially if they're younger children under the age of a year where they can't actually talk and verbalize with you. So the number one most important thing to have in your house is a thermometer, so you're aware if your child is running a temperature. Frequently, parents will say, well, I touched them and they felt cold. I know they didn't have a temperature. And it's interesting to note that when somebody has their highest temperature, they may feel cold and clammy because the body's trying to cool them down by this, what we call sensible heat loss. So basically, you sweat. That creates that absorption from your skin, which helps cooling you down. But it means your skin may actually feel cold. So it is important to actually check your temperature. And if your child is unwell and has a high temperature, then use your Calpol, which is paracetamol, or your ibuprofen in the form of Nurofen or other syrups. It is worth knowing the weight of your child because it does vary. The doses vary. And while on the bottle, it'll give general kind of age groups, give 5 mils for children over the age of 5, if you're measuring your child's weight, you'll be actually able to give a dose that's more accurate and perhaps treat their temperature and treat their symptoms that bit better. Yeah. So, yeah, sorry, you were going to ask
me
something.
No, I was going to ask you, you know, it's great if you can treat at home, because I know that you as a GP and your colleagues, you don't want people who really don't need to come to the surgery to come knocking on your door. You're busy enough. And also, you never know what else you might pick up in the waiting room while you're visiting. So what are the guidelines for parents to know when is a GP visit appropriate?
Well, I think number one, if you have a child that's reasonably well, is feeding for you, they may not be feeding as much, but they're drinking, and especially the babies that they're wetting their nappies and they're feeding, that's good. It's good. They're well hydrated and they're managing. However, if they stop feeding, if they're coughing and perhaps wheezy and just seem that bit more fatigued, that they're stopping drinking their bottles, they're not eating, you're noticing that their nappies are drier, so they're not passing urine, that can be one of the most warning signs. Temperature is going beyond the 72-hour mark. So we know that for most viruses, they'll have babies and children will have temperatures for the first 2 to 3 days, but they'll start to improve after that. If they're not improving and perhaps the children are getting worse and it's getting harder to control the temperatures with your Calpol and Nurofen, again, it's a sign to be seen. The next step would be any child who has signs of respiratory distress. And what do I mean by that? It's worth, especially with the babies, stripping them down and looking. And if the baby is in distress and struggling to breathe, you're going to see them using every muscle. So you'll see the muscles between the ribs being sucked in. You'll see their abdomen, so their tummy muscles pulling in and pulling right up, and a really fast breathing rate and perhaps a fast heart rate. So again, they're all amongst the symptoms that would be saying you need to seek medical help to contact us.
What about meningitis? Are you seeing any of that?
Thank goodness, no, not at the moment. I mean, I remember when I first started in practice, the first year I started, there was an outbreak of meningitis B, and we lost children, and children had amputations. Because of the advent of meningitis B and C vaccines, we're really seeing a huge drop in that. We will see odd cases of different types of meningitis, be it viral and pneumococcal out there, but very much definitely well gone because of the benefit of the vaccine. So again, the importance of making sure your baby is updated with the vaccines. And Pat, that's one of the things with all these viruses floating about, sometimes mums are afraid to bring the child in if they're coughing and snuffling. The rule of thumb is if your child is well and doesn't have a temperature above 38, so they may be coughing and snuffling, but the temperature is not going above 38, they can go ahead and get their vaccine if it's due.
What about flu? Has it arrived or not?
We're definitely seeing cases that we feel would meet the criteria for flu. And what's the difference with flu to other viruses? It tends to be the suddenness of onset. So sudden onset, high temperatures, and feeling like you've literally been run over by a bus. So that kind of differentiates between it and flu-like or other viral illnesses. And so definitely is recorded. We're seeing small numbers, but very small numbers. But it is expected that will rise as it did in Australia because we tend to follow the pathway there. And again, for those who are high risk and meet the criteria, they should be getting their flu vaccines. And this year, I suppose more importantly, over the last couple of years, the HSC have provided the childhood flu vaccine, and that's available for all children from age 2 up to 17, and it's in the form of a nasal spray. So it's much easier, no jab, no pain, and that's available through your GP for free to all children between 2 and 17.
Any winter vomiting bug?
Lots of it out there. And again, big message is keep hydrated. Expect vomiting normally only lasts a day or two, and, you know, get the fluids into you or into your child. Diarrhea can last anything up to 5 to 7 days, but as long as you're managing to keep fluids down, that's good. Adults, sometimes we'll recommend medications like Imodium for the diarrhea and Dioralyte or Rapalite that you can buy over the counter. But in children, we don't recommend any medication. So really, it's just keep feeding them, especially fluids. Be aware that in elderly people, they're at high risk of becoming dehydrated, and those who have established kidney disease, so kidney failure, can deteriorate quite rapidly if they're not being hydrated well. So if you are aware of a family member who has vomiting and diarrhea, if they're becoming dehydrated, again, not able to tolerate fluids, finding that they've reduced output of urine, then they need to seek medical help.
Now, the last thing is about people who, think, I've got these symptoms, I may have COVID. They test, they've no COVID. They keep on testing, no COVID. And they feel, even though they're symptomatic and coughing and spluttering and all the rest, that they, because they haven't COVID, can go into work and go on public transport and all the rest without masking. I mean, they're just going to give whatever they have to other people if they do that.
They are, Pat, and I suppose that's where one would hope that employers would be kind of facilitating people perhaps to work from home if they're in the acute phase of the virus. And again, that acute phase is the first few days for normal viruses, probably the first 3 days or so. So if you're running a temperature plus you've got all of the symptoms, really, I suppose the active phase is while you're running the temperature. That's what I would use as a rule of thumb. And stay home if you can. If you can't work from home, then limit your contact with others. And as you say, wear that mask. Don't be afraid to wear the mask on the bus and on the public transport, because it's better that you're keeping that virus to yourself and not spreading it to others. And we would hope that people have that kind of viral and spread of virus etiquette and awareness now, that they don't feel embarrassed about wearing a mask on public transport and in public areas.
Dr. Ilona Duffy, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.